the year 2007. A horrific crime against a mother of three changed the lives of her family forever. And guess what? The horror of this unsolved murder continues to this day. Today, I'll be speaking with Karen Bowden's daughter, Carly, as she walks us through the details of this living nightmare and her crusade for justice. So, Carly.
My name is Carly Bodine, also known as Carly Odin. My mother was Karen Bodine. She was murdered January 22nd, 2007. We just passed the 14-year anniversary. Her homicide is unsolved. Unfortunately, the media has not done justice and has not brought her story to light the way it deserves. I have saved my own money and, along with generous donations, gotten a billboard up. I pass out flyers constantly. She has a Facebook page. That Facebook page is Justice for Karen Bodine, My Mother's Unsolved Murder. There's flyers on there you can share. There's pictures of the billboard. There's also a link where you can donate because the billboard is not quite paid for. I do have a private investigator. Unfortunately, they are not cheap. The good thing about this one is she is giving me the biggest discount in the whole entire world, and her heart is completely in it. And as what's unfortunate about these circumstances is my mother, she was the greatest mother in the whole world. Of course, every daughter will say that, but my mother truly was. She did have addiction problems throughout her life. She had years of normalcy and sobriety. She was a school lunch lady at my school. She worked at McDonald's. She worked at the MAC makeup counter, among many other things. Yes, she did have addiction, too. She wasn't doing well at the end of her life. That does not mean she deserves to be murdered. Absolutely not.
No, it doesn't.
She does not deserve to be thrown away like garbage. The person or persons responsible are walking scot-free. I might be behind them in line at the grocery store, and that is the scariest thing in the whole entire world.
I can't imagine what you're going through.
And the sad thing is, when I talk about this to the community, the two main answers are, I never hear about it in the news. So, I thought it was solved, or, oh, I never even heard about this. But yet, the local news stations really refuse to do reports. The few reports they have done, I have relentlessly made them do, and their original reports were horrible. They didn't contact the family. She was never a transient, ever. She was never a prostitute, ever. And they did a mugshot from, like, 1997 instead of asking the family for a photograph.
Wow. Well, hopefully we can get...
It's victim shaming, and it's worst. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
No, I was just going to... And you're exactly right. It is victim shaming. So we're going to get some more current pictures up there of her closer to the time of her death.
The sad thing is I don't have too many pictures because this was right around when cell phones were around and they didn't really have pictures. Most of the pictures I do have are older. I do have a Christmas picture that's a little more current, and then I have pictures of the vigil, but I do have a semi-current one.
Well, that's okay. Whatever we can put up to help. So can you walk me through that day? The day that you found out your mom was taken from you?
Yeah, what would you like to know? Like, in the morning? And, like, just,
So I have it written down that she was, found on a county road?
Yep, Little Rock and Sargent, which is, I don't know if this was on purpose or happenstance, but there's a city dump right there, and she was found on the edge of the city dump.
Okay. I apologize for having to make you go through this again, but what was the cause of death?
the detectives have not given me too many details. Originally, they only said homicidal violence, which is a million things, but they later came out and said it was a ligature, so some type of strangulation.
Okay. I found in one of the articles that I've read that the ligature was found still around her neck. Do you know if that's...
Yes.
That's true? Yes,
that is true. And that's the only thing. She was completely naked, no purse, no clothes, no nothing, but she did have the ligature.
And it also said that there was no sexual assault.
Well, they say there was no sexual assault. I don't think they're not, like, 100% positive, but they're pretty sure there was no sexual assault.
They also, in the article, said that there was two persons of interest. Is that still the case?
At least. And it's the same two people. Yep.
And you're not at liberty to share their names at this point yet, right?
Well, the thing is, in I believe it's called the Scene of the Crime podcast by Carolyn and Kim, the detective names a man named Jim Hunt. That's the person's house she was seen at last. Now, I'm not necessarily naming him as a suspect, but he was one of the last verified people to see her.
So, what's the difference, the miles between the place where she was found and Jim's house?
So, this has to be a local person, because this is out in Lacey, Hawks Prairie, more towards Tacoma, a little past Olympia, and in the city part. She was found on Little Rock and Sargent Road out in the country, almost Lewis County, 35-minute drive.
But did they say that, I believe I read that Detective Hamilton said that she could possibly have been killed in another location and dumped there?
That's what we're thinking. We are thinking she might have been killed at that house in Lacey, and then transported out to that dump site.
Now, Jim's house is in Lacey?
Yes, and that's where she was last verified to be seen. And a cop did a welfare check on her in Lacey, just a few blocks away from that house.
And what did you say the distance between Lacey and this dumping site was?
It's about 30, 35 minutes.
Okay.
Let's see. To give you kind of a guesstimate, it's exit 108 for Lacey, and it's exit 95 88 to get to where my mom's site was.
Okay.
Where her body was found dumped.
So what about the late model brown vehicle, possibly a Datsun or a Toyota? Is that true?
Yes. So I want to clarify about that. Originally, it was reported as a brown Datsun's, possibly 80s, car. I don't know how it got switched around to a truck, which is still a brown 80s Datsun truck.
Mm-hmm.
It might have a light shell camper. It might not. Now, here's the thing. One car could have been seen there. They both could have been seen there. We're not sure. One of them is involved.
And one of them was scrapped in 2009. Is that, I think you talked to me about that before.
Now, I don't want to misspeak. I know a car was scrapped. I believe it might have been a truck. I don't know if it was that car, so don't quote me on that. But a car or truck they were looking for evidence was scrapped, and so there's no way they can get any evidence out of it.
Okay, here's my other question. The boyfriend that she had had the fight with that night, now I'm skipping around. Karen had a disagreement or a pretty physical fight with her then boyfriend?
Yes.
Kevin?
Kevin Hastings, yes.
Okay. Does Kevin Hastings or this Jim Hunt, do either one of them at that point in time, did they have a vehicle with that description?
I am not sure, and here's what I've learned through my years in the, for lack of a better word, tweaker world, just because you or I have a car doesn't mean it's your car. Let's say I have a car, but you owe me $1,000. So you have a car, but you owe me $1,000. You don't have the $1,000, so you give me the car. But it never got registered in my name. So we're still driving as far as the police are concerned. Your car, not mine.
Yeah, I get it.
Does that make sense? So it makes it a little difficult. It gets a needle in a haystack.
Yeah. It definitely does sound like you're trying to find a needle. I really hope you do, though. This Kevin.
Here's what I don't get, and I don't want to insult anyone, but these are a bunch of druggies. How could they keep their mouth shut for so long? Like, what the heck?
I think we talked about that before, that there was a lot of people that were giving eyewitness stories, but they were all different, and they were all basically, you know, under the influence, so they really didn't know if it was true or not.
Exactly. And it's like, oh, I heard this from so-and-so, so it must be true. But the thing is each story had a snippet, a basis. You know, some of it was completely off the wall, but there was a little bit of truth.
Yeah.
Other ones, there was some truth, and it was a little off the wall. So it's hard to figure out what's true and what's not.
How long was your mom with Kevin?
Oh, goodness. Off and on for years.
Okay. What did you think of him?
Oh, I think he's a total dirtbag, slumbag. He treats my mom like crap. I have no kind words for that man.
The only reason I ask is because I had heard, I think that Detective Hamilton had written down someplace that it was possible motive was anger or revenge. And it sounds like
she... Here's the thing, is Kevin Hastings, my mom's boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, what have you, and Jim Hunt are best friends.
Oh my, I was just going to ask you if they knew each other.
Together.
Oh, I was just going to ask you if they knew each other.
They play in a band together, and they were best friends, and it's not talked about, but I'm pretty sure they dealt or did drugs together. So it's the trifecta.
Yeah.
You know? And so how could two best friends never talk about anything like this?
And they were friends prior to this murder?
Yep. Oh, they were best friends. My mother would call me from Jim Hunt's house saying, I am so bored. Kevin won't let me leave. Blah, blah, blah. They've been at band practice for 6 hours. It's so boring.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Wow, that.
And what's really unfortunate is my mom did suffer some mental, I don't want to say mental illness, I guess mental illness is the right term, but especially in the 80s and early 90s, it really wasn't talked about, it was swept under the rug, there was something wrong with you if you had problems, and so she self-medicated, and I really think that's what her problem was self-medication.
Well, it could be. So, a neighbor is the one that saw Karen wandering residential streets in Lacey.
Yes, and they called a welfare check. The cop deemed her okay enough to go home. It didn't seem like she was in any immediate danger. They called my grandparents, but my grandparents were in a meeting at the time.
Okay.
So they didn't get the call in time, unfortunately.
And the area that she was wandering, that's in basically...
That's in Lacey, right between Jim Hunt's house and her old boyfriend, Kevin Hastings.
And the dumping site?
The dumping site is out in Rochester, about 30, 35 minutes away.
Oh.
So it needs to be a local person that knows the area. Because here's the other thing. This is a, like a transfer station, like for garbage and stuff like that. But there's a gravel turnoff, and I guess it's a known spot for criminals to drop off, like, poached deer carcasses or burned out stolen cars or other debris. I guess kids drink there. And so here's what's really frustrating. My mom's tag was found on a car seat, not like a baby car seat, like a, you know, back seat of a car seat.
Okay.
They did not collect that in evidence. They don't know if the killer left that there. They don't know if that was there when my mom was dumped.
They never checked it for evidence?
Nope.
Wow. That could have been the answer to everything.
Yep. It just got left there. They didn't know if it was there originally. They don't know if it's the car she came from. They don't know if she died on the way down there. We don't know. The detectives did a really botched job originally. There's two Detective Hamiltons. The original Detective Hamilton, I don't have very high words for him. The new Detective Hamilton, I really feel he's putting his heart and soul into this.
Yeah, that's what you said before. It's Mickey, right?
Yes.
Okay. Wow, that's a lot. I also read in an article that, oh wait, let me go back. So the night there was a fight at Jim Hunt's residence where he let people come and go, and that's the house that she had the little altercation again, right?
That's the altercation that night, and then that morning she was found dead. Mm. So that was like a Sunday night, maybe early Monday morning, and then by like 7:30 she was found on the side of the road dead.
Did he say something to the effect that they had an argument over the bathroom and he, Jim, busted the door down and Karen got injured in the process and left right after that?
He admitted that he busted the door down eventually. Yes, okay. He did. But Karen did not leave. No. See, that's where conflicting witness statements come in. One witness says a brown pickup picked her up. One witness says a maroon truck picked her up. Another witness says a van picked her up. Another witness says she walked off. Another witness says she stayed in the bathroom. So...
Well, she obviously didn't stay in the bathroom.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. So that's where it gets fishy. Oh. And that's where the timeline kind of goes cold.
Her ex-husband, was he in prison at the time of the murder?
So I want to make one thing clear. Dan Isaacson, that's who you're talking about. He and my mom were never married. He likes to be in the limelight. He and my mom were together forever. They truly did love each other. They had a tumultuous relationship, but they were never officially married. Yes, I believe he had just recently gotten back in prison at the time.
So you don't think that he had anything to do with it?
I don't think so, no. I know he and my mom had his problems. Had their problems, but I don't think it would ever be like that.
Was he in the area at that point in time?
I know he was in the Lacey area before he went to jail, and it happened right around the same time. It's been so long ago, I can't remember the exact date, but it was about that time.
Did you ever try to reach out to him and talk to him?
I can't again. He's pretty tight-lipped. I'm a little upset with him. He had some information he kept withheld until 2014 when he got in trouble again. And then he told some information to get a lesser sentence on his charge.
Okay. Well,
so he's kind of a dirtbag himself.
Your mother was a victim of circumstance.
Yeah, unfortunately, and they were high school sweethearts, so.
Wow. So, I was going to actually reach out and call the detective, but you know a lot, so I'm going to ask you this. What is the Bardol method? Does it have something to do with extracting DNA from things that you wouldn't think that you could?
There's a thing called MVAC, too. And I'm looking into that as we speak. I'm waiting for the detective's answers.
Okay.
Actually, so great minds think alike. Yep.
All right. And then, where's the other one? This all took place in Thurston County, Washington State?
Yes. Lacey slash Rochester.
Okay. And did you say that there is a reward out?
There is. There's a $1,000 Crime Stopper reward, and there's an up to $50,000 private family reward.
Okay. And this is only for serious? Don't just call in for no reason, people.
Exactly. And it's, let me make sure there's a disclaimer. You only get the money if it leads to an arrest or a conviction.
Sounds reasonable. So,
right.
What is the Crime Solve event?
The Crowd Solve?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. So, there's this thing called Crime Con, and they've been doing it for a few years. But Crowd Solve was the very first of its kind, and it happened in Seattle, I want to say 2 years ago. Nancy Moyer's case and Karen Bodine's case were featured. It's where people pay money, and you get vetted, and you sign non-disclosure agreements and all that. And you're pretty much a detective for 3 days. They give you the whole case file. They give you crime scene photos, and they say, figure it out.
Wow. Well, you know what? That probably helps a lot, too.
It really did. It helped give us new insight, new eyeballs. It gave us media attention. It gave me networking abilities. It helped beyond recognition, for sure.
Wow, do they do that every year?
They do Crime Con every year, but I'm not sure if they do Crowd Solve.
Okay. Well, either way, they both sound like they're helpful.
Fabulous. And they have special guests like Nancy Grace and James Basinger was there, Art Roderick. There's a million others. I just can't think of their names off the top of my head. Yeah, they have all the famous celebrities from all those shows. It's great. It's great.
That's cool. Is there anything else that you can tell us about your mom? I read in one of the articles that she had a beautiful soul.
So, yes, let me elaborate on that. She had a beautiful soul inside and out. She was a gorgeous person, but that's what made her gorgeous, was her inside beauty. Like, that's what made her so physically attractive. Her laugh, she snorted, and it was the most ridiculous laugh, but it was so charming, and it was so beautiful, and it was so heartwarming, and she could be a fiery little firecracker, let me tell ya. But she also had the biggest, kindest heart in the whole world. My aunt had given her a $200 shopping limit to buy clothes for herself. She filled the basket up, and my aunt Lynn said, Karen Bodine, this is not what I said. I said buy clothes for yourself, not your children. And she had filled her cart with stuff for us.
That's a mom.
Yep. So, I mean, even in her throes of addiction, we were the first on her mind. So, and it's only fair, I feel obligated in the best way possible to fight tooth and nail for her, because I only know she would do the same, if not more, for me.
Well, I hope that this podcast helps, and I hope that if, you know, you get some miraculous break in this mystery, that you would come back on the show, share with us.
Yes, yes. Oh, and there's a new billboard coming up. We have one up, and I have another one coming up, too.
Great. That's great.
Yeah. Yep, I am not stopping. I was going to rent an ad in the newspaper, but that cost $5,200, so wow. A little rich in my blood. But, yeah, and if you want to donate, please, if you want to donate anything for media, for the billboard, for PI, for flowers for my mom, for anything, if you go to Facebook, Justice for Karen Bodine, My Mother's Unsolved Homicide, there's a bunch of information, there's flyers, there's pictures of the billboard, and there's a link to the Venmo account where you can send donations. And if you cannot send donations, which I completely understand, please just share her story. That's all I ask. I just want her her story shared.
We get you.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you. I appreciate your time and efforts. We will talk again soon.
Let's take a small commercial break. If you have any information on the unsolved murder of Karen Bowden, please call Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-8477. If you or someone you know is battling addiction, please contact the Recovery Village hotline at 888-676-0075, 24/7. All calls are confidential.